Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Because every time we hear about a rift in terms of the relationship between a CEO, perhaps even leaving a company with immediate effect, and how the board of directors might be influenced, or they influence the executive team, this gives us some perspective around management structures, control of entities, and most importantly, trust. For you to run any organization effectively, there does need to be a heightened level of trust and support in order to manage the complexities of a business environment. Someone who knows much about this and has actively participated in studies and research to help us understand why the board and CEO relationship in South Africa might need a reset on the back of some insights we see from a report. We're joined by Guy Lundy, South Africa Country Manager for Spencer Stuart. Such a pleasure to have you, Mr. Lundy.
Very good to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to speak to you because as I read through this report, my mind went to a few scenarios that we've had in South Africa in the past. And I know that these are not examples we'll reference, but I just thought as a case study, Old Mutual, at the time when Peter Moyo had a fallout with the then chairman of the board, Trevor Manuel. African Bank, Basani Maluleke, from what we understand, didn't have the necessary support from Thabo Ngoti, who was the chairman of the board back then. There are companies and companies that we can, I guess, you know, the names and titles that we can continue to rattle off where this strain or inadequate support highlights the details of the report that we're going to discuss tonight. Maybe let's go back there just to understand the very complex but critical relationship between the board of directors of a company together with the executive team, specifically the CEO. Why does this matter?
I think it matters for various reasons. One is that the CEO's role is a very lonely role. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the CEO can feel very lonely because the people around them on a daily basis are people that are always looking to them for advice, for guidance, etc. And it really helps them to have a partner. So being able to turn to the board and look to them for partnership is really very helpful in the CEO's journey and in their success. So I think that the opportunity to create more of a partnership rather than just a kind of policing relationship is something that's quite important.
100%. But even from that, right, typically CEOs are appointed by the board. So one would assume that this relationship starts way before one actually fulfills the executive duty.
Absolutely. You would think so. So, you know, it always does make one wonder when you've had companies that cycle through CEOs, six, seven CEOs in 7 or 8 years. You know, then you do wonder what's failing in the relationship between the board and the CEO. And on the other hand, you have the other extreme in some cases where you've got a CEO that kind of controls the board. And so we can look at Steinhoff, yes. We can look at Tongaat, where good examples of companies where the CEO is very much in control of, you know, picking the board, potentially positioning themselves to become a chair down the line. You often see that where the CEO retires and then becomes the chair, and it, yes, makes you wonder how much independence there is there. So, yes, you have the two extremes, and the report that we've commissioned and run internationally shows that there definitely needs to be a better balance between the two. Mm-hmm. So you want to have that relationship that is a partnership relationship between the board and the CEO rather than just a governance relationship, or one where the board just sits and drinks tea and eats biscuits.
Yeah, quarterly at a great cost, I must add. But as you've described so beautifully, the big word we're looking for here is support, which is underscored in your report. Whilst the CEO might have to run the race with the team, leading the team in order to meet profitability and the objectives of the business, it's the board that really needs to offer some level of support, coaching, guidance, as you said, beyond just governance, regulation and control. Looking at the report, the top headline essentially says that 22% of CEOs don't feel as though they are effectively or adequately supported by board.
They actually... Just to correct that, 22% do feel that they are adequately supported, which means that 78% don't feel adequately supported.
100%. Thanks for that correction. And maybe let's touch on that 78% because that's a big number. This is more than three quarters of executives saying, oh, the board isn't rising to meet the moment. Help us understand some of the complexities and concerns that came up.
And keep in mind that this is global. So we surveyed 2,500 people around the world. Including in South Africa. And that's a tremendous number of people who are not feeling like they're getting as much support from the board as they would like to get amongst the CEOs. And I guess part of the reason is because of the fact that boards are set up in quite a traditional way. They meet once a quarter. Mostly the time that's taken up in those board meetings is spent on governance and not necessarily on strategy. And perhaps there's time for a reset where we start looking at how do we get board members and CEOs to be able to interact more regularly and on more strategic matters, as well as making sure that we have board members that are from the industry, that have done this sort of role before, so they can actually give advice rather than just police the relationship from a governance perspective, which is also necessary, but not everything.
Let's talk about that skills and expertise, but also how this then amounts to the level of personal support and engagement that CEOs are looking for.
So when it comes to the skills and expertise, it's a bit of a catch-22, because on the one hand, board members are at a later stage of their lives. They're at a later stage of their career. They've often been an executive before and they've now retired. And things change and they move quite quickly, particularly with things like AI and other sorts of technologies that are fundamentally changing business. So those board members don't necessarily have the insight and the experience on the items that are on the agenda today in a business. But they definitely come with a tremendous amount of experience along the way that they can share. And often I think board members don't necessarily feel that they're given the opportunity to share that. I think board members also feel frustrated that so much of their task is focused on governance. So if you look at the same survey, 43% of the board members said that they do feel like they're giving enough support to the CEO, but that still leaves us with 57% who feel that they're not giving enough support. So both board members and CEOs are feeling that they could do more.
100%. I'm so intrigued by this dynamic because, as you say, both parties do actually want to do more. Maybe let's start from the CEO's perspective as to what additional support they're looking for. You mentioned strategy, you mentioned, I guess, personal engagement, and of course, just the right people in the room to actually offer guidance. Help us contextualize that and what it actually looks like in terms of the feedback from the study.
So I think one of the words that's used in the study is thought partner, and I really like that idea because, you know, if you start focusing on board members as thought partners for the CEO, they then become far more engaging. They enable the CEO to be much more vulnerable. The CEO can actually share some of the problems that they're facing without fear of getting into trouble because, you know, the board is going to turn around and point fingers at who's to blame, etc. So finding the ability to have a thought partner in the board becomes really key. Also planning how you interact with the board, how the CEO and the board interact on an ongoing basis becomes something that needs to be worked on regularly and needs to be looked at from both sides as to, is it working? Can we do it differently? Rather than just continuously doing the same setup of the relationship that's been in place for 50, 60, 70 years.
Yeah.
You know, where a quarterly board meeting was probably enough back in those days.
Not anymore. Not in the times that we're living in, clearly. Not with the volatility we experience.
What happens in a quarter today, sure.
Exactly. And maybe that's a relevant point to bring up because that also speaks to the board perhaps amplifying the number of times that they meet and actually engage with the executive team. Has that come up from the other 57% odd of board members who say they want to do more? But also, how do we do more but still maintain independence, which is so critical within the company's act and rules of business?
Very, very important. And so it's not necessarily about having more board meetings. It's more about the nature of the contact and the ability to engage on a more regular basis, be able to pass a question across to a board member, the ability for the board members to come and engage with the business, understand the business more effectively on a day-to-day basis.
And I think this is so critical because, as you say, it's really about understanding the business more on a day-to-day basis and the quality of the engagement. Does this take us back to strategy? Because that influences operations, which influences profitability, which then goes back to fulfilling the objective of the board of directors anyway, which is to help protect the shareholders' interests. So is it that simple, especially in this complex world we're living in?
It's never simple. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the problems that we have, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, the basic message here is that there's more that we could do. We can certainly develop relationships between board and CEO so that when they hit troubled times, together they can work out a way forward rather than looking for somebody to to blame and somebody to take the fall. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the closer, and in fact, if you look again at the research, the closer that boards and CEOs work and the more supported the CEOs feel, the higher the level of reporting of the success of the business is.
Ah.
So, you know, when the CEOs feel properly supported, they indicate that the business is doing better. Similarly with the board members, when they feel that the CEO is properly supported, they feel that the business is doing better on numerous measures.
Got you.
So it becomes a virtuous circle, if you like.
Got you. Consistently, continuously reinforcing, I guess, as a loop. But Mr. Lundy, this might be an unfair question, but I think very relevant to us as South Africans. You mentioned that this is part of a global study. In South Africa, we're well aware that we've got very strict and requirements and controls around governance. Look at the King Code and so many other themes in the Companies Act that make it very clear the role and function of the board of directors versus executive directorship. How do we fare in comparison to our global counterparts?
I would argue that we fare relatively well. So from a governance perspective, certainly you're right. The King Code is globally recognized as being very strong, very similar to the Cadbury Commission in the UK, and well recognized around the world. So from a governance perspective, we definitely do fare well. Obviously, there are cases where it falls through the cracks, you know, the spin-offs and the Tongaats, as we spoke about earlier, as it does elsewhere in the world, Enrons and various others. Mm-hmm. So I think that we compare favorably with the rest of the world. And what is interesting looking at these figures is that, you know, you would expect locally that the board and the CEO relationship could improve, but clearly internationally, this is a problem that we face everywhere. So there are things that can be done everywhere in the world, including South Africa.
100%. We just need to continue to get better and implementing the right solutions. And I can imagine it differs from industry to industry, company to company, depending on the dynamics that they're facing. And of course, the macroeconomic and exogenous factors that they need to respond to.
Exactly. Yeah. And when the macroeconomic factors are changing as regularly as they do,
oh, yeah.
It becomes even more important.
I can imagine. Sometimes all it takes is a tweet and then there's a calamity from Donald Trump. Mr. Lundy, such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Looking forward to touching base with you again, especially in terms of some of the dynamics you see at a global level and, of course, how they impact our environment in South Africa. Thank you again.
Thank you.
That's Guy Lundy, who's the South Africa Country Manager for Spencer Stuart, joining us today to give us some insight into the dynamics that globally have been found in terms of a lack of support that CEOs do feel that they're getting from their board members, and board members themselves who also concur and say, you know what, the large majority of us could actually do a lot more to assist our CEOs with the effective running of an organization. And again, this takes us back to company laws and company dynamics 101, right? You and I might be running around providing the operations of the business, but the executive team, the CEO, essentially is the person who runs with the strategy. Think of it as having the captain of the team, essentially. But every CEO needs a Rassi Erasmus, and perhaps that's where the board comes into play. So I might be oversimplifying it, but hopefully it does give you some context around how these structures work, why they are so important, and why the interlink between all of them remains so critical in terms of the kind of relationship that's fostered with the board of directors as well as executive leadership specifically.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.